It's time now for hour two of our big two-hour weekend get-together here on A Touch of Grey, the talk show for grown-ups. My name is Michael Harrison. I'm the anchor. And here is the host, Carol Marks, in conversation now with Deborah Lynn Dadd. Deborah Lynn Dadd has been dubbed the Queen of Green by the New York Times and named by the Boston Globe as one of the country's few authorities on natural and non-toxic consumer affairs. She's going to talk to Carol about her new book titled Toxic Free, How to Protect Your Health and Home from the Chemicals That Are Making You Sick, published by Jeremy P. Tarcher.
Deborah, you've been writing about toxic chemicals in the home and safe alternatives for over 30 years, and I understand your interest in toxic chemicals came from finding them in your own home. So what physical problems were they causing you, and how did you learn what the harmful chemicals were?
The physical problems that I had from chemical exposure were a handful of symptoms that didn't seem to fit together like any illness that I knew of. I had headaches and insomnia and depression, and, you know, that just doesn't sound like any illness. But when I found out, the way I found out that it was toxic chemicals was actually my mother was at the time dying of cancer, and my father took her to a doctor called a clinical ecologist who was working with people who were having reactions to toxic chemicals. And they do a little test. They can give you some toxic chemicals under your tongue, and then it will turn on a certain symptom. And he watched this happen, and he said, that's what's wrong with my daughter, because he would just see me bursting into tears for no apparent reason and not being able to sleep and things like that. And when he told me about this, I went to see the doctor. I started finding out about it, and that's exactly what it was, because when I eliminated toxic chemicals from my home, one by one, my symptoms started going away.
And I understand that now in our country, we face potential exposure, it's hard to believe, to more than 80,000 man-made chemicals. And you use the term body burden to describe the phenomenon. So what happens when these toxic chemicals overwhelm the body and they can't all be excreted? So where do they get stored? Because I guess where they get stored eventually leads to symptoms that people have, such as yours.
That's exactly what happens, is that our bodies have their own natural detoxification system, that our kidneys and our livers are working all the time to remove toxic metabolic waste from cell processes and things like that. And they also will remove a certain amount of toxic chemicals. But what happens is that we're exposed to so many that it's more than our bodies can handle. And so if it can't process them through, then it starts storing them in our blood and fat and tissues and organs and glands, and then they build up in our bodies and build up and build up and build up, and that's what's called body burden. And the Centers for Disease Control has actually been monitoring body burden for about 30 years, and you can just go online and look at reports at what toxic chemicals are in our bodies and how much. It's a real phenomenon that is causing illness in this country.
A real eye-opener. Now, let's talk about some of the things in our home that can give off toxic chemicals, such as our couches. So what's the problem? What percentage of couches does it affect? And you have a wonderful website, and I believe you have a list of couches that are safe.
I do. You can go to toxicfree123.com, and that will lead you to other parts of my website. But there's a part called Deborah's List, which lists all kinds of products. There's almost 1,000 entries of websites that sell products without toxic chemicals. And one of the things that you can look up is couches. And couches has been in the news recently because they have fire retardants on them that are pretty toxic. But there are websites you can go to get couches that do not have fire retardants. And that's true for every product in your home. I can say that there are toxic chemicals in virtually every product that you have in your home, in every product that you buy. But there are also toxic-free products if you know where to find them.
And I never realized till I read your book that a variety of toxic chemicals, including ammonia, are in the household cleaners that I use, and they can cause problems. And you recommend two safe substances that do an excellent job cleaning your house. So tell us what they are.
Well, I use baking soda and vinegar for practically everything, baking soda, vinegar, and soap. And I've been doing that for 25, 30 years, and I clean my house just as well as people who use the toxic chemical cleaners from the supermarket.
Probably a lot cheaper, too.
Much cheaper, and no plastic bottles.
That's true. Now, when it comes to getting rid of those annoying and sometimes disease-causing bugs, I know the products that I have on my shelf for that contain DEET, and I was shocked to learn that DEET can take paint off. So, who wants to put something on their body that can do that?
I know, not me.
So what do you recommend?
Well, for many, many years, I use vinegar. I use vinegar for a lot of things. I used vinegar as a insect repellent, but I've also found there's one that I use now because I live in Florida where there are a lot of bugs, and the one I use now is made from natural essential oils, and it just smells like cloves. It's really nice. So there are herbal formulas that you can use, but if you just want to be really simple, just take that vinegar right off the shelf in your kitchen and put it on your body, and the mosquitoes will not bite you.
And another thing that I really had no idea contained chemicals, because fresh fragrances are all over. I mean, you find them in people's cars. They're in our restaurants, mm-hmm. These dangling things that emit a nice fragrance. So what are some of the other ones, and what are some of the physical problems that these air fresheners can cause?
Scents of all kinds, a lot of them will cause central nervous system kind of symptoms, which means that you can get headaches, depression, disorientation. All of those kinds of things are governed by the central nervous system. There are many, many, there are thousands of toxic chemicals used in fragrances. And I have actually something on my website that leads you to another website where it lists what all these toxic chemicals are. So it's something that we can find out about. But it's better to just avoid all kinds of fragrances. The only thing that is really safe to use is an essential oil. So you need to make sure that if you are using something scented, whether it's a candle or a perfume or whatever, that the fragrance comes from a natural essential oil.
And, of course, on the air fresheners, I'm sure those chemicals aren't listed.
Oh, no, they aren't. They aren't. The actual toxic chemicals are not listed on the label of any scented product at all. But you can go to various websites and find out exactly what those toxic chemicals are and their health effects.
And, you know, the other thing I learned about the fragrances that made me shake my head is that they can travel a long way. They can persist for a long time in places like your washer and dryer.
Yes, yes. In fact, you can wash something that is scented in your washer and dryer, and it will leave the scent, and then you put in new clothing that isn't scented, and it will pick up that scent, and then you'll be wearing scented clothing. So it really is a problem. Like, I can't wash my clothes in a washer that where somebody has used a scented detergent, for example. So, like, I can't go to the laundromat because otherwise my clothes will pick up toxic scents.
And aren't most detergents got the scent in them, some fragrance?
Most of them do, but not all, not all. So you can get unscented detergents. You can get totally natural detergents. You can even wash your clothes with something called soap nets, which come right off of a tree and get your clothes very clean.
Now, I'd like you to comment on those antibacterial products we are obsessively using to wash our hands. What harm are they doing, and what can we put on our hands to get rid of germs? Because we seem to be obsessed. I see more articles about using antibacterial soap.
They are pretty toxic. In terms of what to use, you know, I think that mainly that people are, you said the right word, they're obsessed about germs. And actually, our bodies are designed to be able to process all these bacteria and viruses that are in the natural environment. That's part of what Mother Nature bestowed upon us. So we don't really have to be using as many antibacterials as we think. In hospitals, they use, you know, a good scrub with soap and hot water. and they're not using antibacterials. And so you can just make sure that you're washing your hands on a regular basis with just soap and water will do a really good job.
And besides the fact that these antibacterial products probably have chemicals in them, don't they destroy healthy germs as well as, you know, unhealthy ones?
Well, yes, they do. They do. And there are bacteria, especially like in your intestines. I mean, you're not eating antibacterials, but this is an example. In your intestines, you have good bacteria that are doing the work of digesting your food. And then you have bad bacteria that may be giving you a stomach upset. And what you want to be doing is handling the bad bacteria in whatever situation, if there is bad bacteria, and leaving the good bacteria to do its job. And unfortunately, antibacterials just kill everything.
That's Deborah Lindad in conversation with Carol Marks. Her book is titled Toxic Free, How to Protect Your Health and Home from the Chemicals That Are Making You Sick, published by Jeremy P. Tarcher. If you want more information, go to toxicfree123.com. Carol Marks returns with a conversation with Dr. Jennifer Ashton, an ABC News senior medical contributor and the author of a new book titled Your Body Beautiful, Clock-Stopping Secrets to Staying Healthy, Strong, and Sexy in Your 30s, 40s, and Beyond. That's next when A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, continues.
More than 100 million wild animals are killed each year, illegally. Poaching is just one of the risks animals face at our hands. I'm Tom Barry. I'm an actor. I grew up in the beautiful rural countryside of Ohio, where animals roamed freely in the open forests. I have a deep concern to help preserve those open spaces for our wildlife friends so they can live and thrive like they used to. Destruction of their habitats threaten their very existence. The best way to protect wildlife is to protect the land where they live. The Humane Society Wildlife Land Trust works with private landowners to protect wildlife, to preserve natural habitats, and establish permanent sanctuaries. To learn more or to work with the Humane Society Wildlife Land Trust, call 800-729-SAVE. That's 800-729-SAVE. Or visit wildlifelandtrust.org. Thank you.
Continuing now with A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair, and here again is the host of the program, Carol Marks, in conversation now with Dr. Jennifer Ashton. She's an ABC News senior medical contributor and author of a new book titled, Your Body Beautiful, Clock-Stopping Secrets to Staying Healthy, Strong, and Sexy in Your 30s, 40s, and Beyond, published by Penguin.
With an American turning 50 every 7 seconds, I got to tell you, I'm really glad there's a Beyond in your book's title, you know, because it's about body beautiful in your 30s, 40s, and beyond. So don't you agree, it's never too late to improve one's health and appearance?
Absolutely, it's never too late. And, you know, there's a whole field and exciting push in medicine right now called anti-aging medicine or regenerative medicine. And, you know, while I don't go into that in very detailed specifics in the book, the whole tone of the book is based on regeneration and anti-aging. And absolutely, it's possible to be better, healthier, more beautiful, more fit at 50 than you were at 40, or better at 40 than you were at 30. And the book was really inspired by 10 years of conversations that I've had with real women, with patients, and what has worked for them, what has worked for me in a very conversational manner. And, you know, if people leave the book learning a few things that can transform their health and their vitality, I'll consider it a job well done. So that's my hope.
And I think the book will do it. I learned lots of stuff. And, you know, when it comes to improving your appearance and health, you know, it usually involves breaking old habits, developing new ones. So what do you say to all the women out there who are working, they have children, they maybe have elderly parents that need assistance, and they tell you they don't have the time to do what you suggest?
Well, you know, I address that specifically in the book, Carol, because that is something that I hear from women in my, I'm in my office right now, I hear that literally every single day. And the point of the book is that if you break down what seems to be an insurmountable task, you know, getting better sleep, having better sex, doing more exercise, eating better, if you break it down into manageable steps, baby steps. In my case, in the book, I give a 5-week plan for most things that people can do little things every day. By the end of that 5 weeks, there's a really good chance that that new little baby step has become a habit. And as most people know, habits don't require very much effort. That's why they're called habits. So if you break things down in that manner, all of a sudden you'll notice at the end of 5 weeks, or in some cases, you know, a little longer, or in some cases even shorter, that it's happening without any effort at all, and that can make a huge, huge difference in your health.
Now, first let's talk about the 5-day, 2-day diet plan. I loved it, but what makes your plan different from the other diet plans and so much more doable?
Well, I'll tell you something. My five-day, two-day eating plan, because it really is not about depriving yourself, is not, what makes it different is that it's sustainable and it's not gimmicky. Because any diet, I want to be clear, any diet that's out there can be effective in the short term. But as most people know, they can take the weight off in a month or in a couple of months, but at a year, it's right back on. And what's different about my eating plan is I go through the very simple parameters, and there are not that many of them, that people need to do during the week. And on the weekend, they can really go back to whatever they want to do. It's a reset. It's a, you know, it's kind of like a reward. And that is what makes it sustainable. And over time, a few things happen. Metabolically, our bodies change and we get used to more of the 5-day than the 2-day. Psychologically, our minds change and we stop craving those 2-day treats as much as we did in the past. And guess what? At the end of the day, math wins. So 5 days, you're being strict. 2 days, you're lightening up. At the end of a month or 6 months or a year, that weight will come off. And I have seen this happen in all of my patients, in myself. It's something that I live by. It is easy. Anyone can do it. So it's something that I feel really, really strongly about.
Now, another thing that you talk about that's so important that you have a 5-week program for is exercise. And I never really realized how important it was to exercise more and eat less to keep the pounds off.
Yep.
Because as we get older, what have studies shown us about the amount of weight that we gain post-menopause?
Mm-hmm. That's right. It's a considerable amount of weight, actually. It can be well over 10 pounds. And, you know, again, this is something I've seen in my clinical practice. I've actually spoken to a lot of professional athletes, some of whom are my patients, some of whom are just my friends, and gotten their secrets and tips as well. And in my own training for triathlons, which I started doing at the age of 41, I incorporated a lot of what I learned from a triathlon coach in there as well. And the big realization, Carol, is that a lot of people, let's be honest, they hate working out. They don't like exercise. So when I say make it a habit, they roll their eyes and say, no, it's not going to happen. So there are tricks and tips in my book about ways that you can trick your body into getting that exercise in the most effective, most bang for the buck. But to be clear, our bodies need more exercise than we think. And when you start to provide your body with that type of movement, it will reward you by feeling great and looking great, and it's something that I see in my own life and in the lives of the women that I take care of. So it's very, very important. And there are some kind of creative ways to get around the disdain for exercise that I talk about in the book that I think have been helpful to a lot of people.
So give me one idea how I can make my body do something it doesn't want to do, how I can fool it.
Well, I'll tell you something. You know, we've heard before things like, you know, take the stairs at work or take the stairs in your house instead of the, you know, or at work instead of the elevator, walk farther away from the shopping center, you know, so you get that exercise in. But I think that today, in the age of technology in which we live, most people will find a little inner challenge and their inner competitor awakened. If they either get into a challenge or competition with someone else, it could be a coworker, it could be a friend or relative, or if they just keep track of it themselves. So you can spend $5 and get a little pedometer, you know, at a drugstore, or you can spend $150 and get a Nike Fuel Band. But if you chart your progress day by day, you will be amazed at what you can accomplish. And, you know, most people, when I say you have to exercise for an hour a day, they say, I don't have the time. No one ever said that hour has to be an hour straight. So if you break it up into 3 or 4, you know, smaller chunks of time, most people will find it much more possible to get that job done. And when you see after 5 weeks the difference in how your body looks and feels, you won't want to stop it. You'll definitely want to keep going.
Now, Dr. Ashton, when it comes to looking better in our beauty, you've got lots of secrets for having our hair and beauty look better. And, of course, when it comes to skin care, as we age, you talk in your book about the fact we have to change our skin care. So what should we look for in our skin care products when we're getting a little older?
Well, I talk about a lot of tips in the book, as you know, Carol, but the two most important ones I'd have to say are, one is relatively high tech in that it is a prescription medication, called a retinoid class of medication, which dermatologists recommend for women starting in their 30s, which gets rid of the fine lines, the sunspots. It stimulates collagen production, and it's very important for the preservation of our skin as we age. Any doctor can write that prescription for you. You can just ask them for a retinoid cream, and you use very sparingly a couple of nights a week, as much as every night, and there are some that are not drying today. I use one. I recommend one to almost all my patients. The other advice and tip that I give in the book talks from the Ayurvedic or Eastern Indian school of medicine, which is incredibly natural. So it's kind of the other end of the spectrum. But do you know what's in my bathroom for a moisturizer head to toe, Carol? You won't believe it. Every oil from the salad aisle in the grocery store.
Wow.
I have olive oil. I have coconut oil. I have safflower oil. And I do not spend big bucks on fancy creams, you know, face creams or body lotions. I use these oils. They're the most natural, and they're very effective. And we have to remember, anything we put on our skin gets absorbed into our bloodstream. So I always recommend that people go as natural as possible, as much as possible. When you need to call in the big guns and use that prescription, do it. But the rest of the time, you want to reach for something that's 100% natural.
Dr. Jennifer Ashton, in conversation with Carol Marks. Her book is titled, Your Body Beautiful, Clock-Stopping Secrets to Staying Healthy, Strong, and Sexy in Your 30s, 40s, and Beyond, published by Penguin. More Touch of Gray coming your way in just a moment.
You want a piece of me?
You want a piece of me?
You want a piece of me?
They're not movie tough guys, just ordinary people doing something extraordinary. They're all signed up on matchingdonors.com, willing to donate their kidney to anyone who needs it. In the U.S., 19 people die each day waiting for an organ transplant, most of them for kidneys. Matchingdonors.com improves those odds by finding living, altruistic donors for patients desperately needing transplants. Go to matchingdonors.com and meet some extraordinary people. That's matchingdonors.com.
Want to stay informed when there are changes to Social Security? Subscribe to receive automatic email updates on popular Social Security websites. Pages with the click of a button. Just visit www.socialsecurity.gov/govdelivery. More than 1 million people already receive updates to the pages they're most interested in. You can too. Look for the red envelope followed by a link that says Get Email Updates. To learn more, visit www.socialsecurity.gov/govdelivery. Social Security delivers.
This is a Driving Today Minute. Even though high gasoline prices have moderated somewhat, they're still quite high. It just makes good sense to do what you can do to reduce your fuel costs. The Alliance to Save Energy suggests a few easy things you can do.
Keep your car properly tuned up and change the air filter regularly, both to save gas and protect your engine. Curtail aggressive driving. According to the U.S. Department of Energy, speeding, rapid acceleration, and hard braking waste gas and curb mileage by as much as 33% at highway speeds.
So nix the jackrabbit starts and opt instead for slow acceleration from a dead stop. Slow down. The DOE says each mile per hour you drive over 60 is like paying an extra 10 cents per gallon. Inflate tires to the proper pressure. This will increase fuel economy and make tires safer and extend their life.
This Driving Today Minute is brought to you by Bridgestone Firestone Tires. You can get more information like this at drivingtoday.com or by visiting our partners such as autobytel.com, motorsportsforum.com, and more.
You're listening to A Touch of Gray.
Check out our website at atouchofgray.com. We spell gray with an E. That's atouchofgray.com. We spell gray with an E.
Hi, I'm Sigourney Weaver. If you're like me, your dog or cat is part of the family, and they rely on you to take care of them. Like a family doctor, your veterinarian and staff know what's best for that special family member. So visit your vet regularly for checkups, for prevention of disease like heartworm, and for the best advice on everyday issues like flea and tick control. Your veterinarian knows best, so take the time to ask questions. For healthy pets, visit the vet.
A message from the American Animal Hospital Association.
You're age 65 and you've made your decision to keep working and delay receiving your benefits. That's fine, but don't forget about Medicare. Most people should apply for Medicare coverage within 4 months of reaching age 65. And there's a fast, convenient, and simple way to apply for Medicare in as little as 10 minutes. Online at www.socialsecurity.gov/Medicare only. That's socialsecurity.gov/Medicare only.
Engine.
Check.
Thrusters.
Check.
Fuel.
Check.
Computers.
Check.
Social Security.
No check, go direct.
That's right, Patty. A few weeks ago, I went online to godirect.org to sign up for direct deposit. It's easy to do, and I got my cash at warp speed.
Wow, it's fast and easy. I'll sign up right now to make sure I'm prepared for our next mission.
Carol Marks is one of America's leading experts on upper demographic issues and a champion in the battle against ageism in our society. Her fabulous new book, Modern Aging, A Guide for Seasoned Citizens to Achieve Health, Happiness, and Purpose, published by Talkers Books, is a major breakthrough in providing a maturing population with vital information and inspiration to live better and more productive lives. Carol Marks offers practical strategies for juggling work, romance, and navigating the healthcare system. She is a guide through the maze of grandparenting, technology, travel, and retirement, as well as facing the sandwich generation struggle of supporting adult children and elderly parents. Modern Aging by Carol Marks is available now at www.talkersbooks.com. That's www.talkersbooks.com.
If you plan to apply for Social Security disability benefits, there are things you can do to help speed up the usual 3 to 5 month wait for a decision. The more information you provide up front, the less time it'll take us to obtain the needed evidence, and the faster the decision can be made. Information like medical records or documentation, the names, addresses, and phone numbers of your doctors and medical facilities, information on your past employment, and more. To be prepared, visit www.socialsecurity.gov/disability and select Disability Starter Kits.
Continuing now with A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups. I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair, and we are for the rest of the way going to be speaking with or hearing conversations conducted by our senior correspondent, Richard Neer, who just moments from now will be talking with Donna Butts. She's the executive director of Generations United, a national nonprofit membership organization focused solely on improving the lives of children, youth, and older people through intergenerational strategies, programs, and public policies. She's going to talk to Richard about the Get Old survey that showed Americans believe communities are not prepared to support the growing number of older Americans. Richard, what's your take on that? Do you think that having lots of older folks in a society is an asset or a burden?
Well, it certainly is a burden on the healthcare system. I don't think there's any question about that. As we get older, we need more care. But I think it can be a big asset in the sense that because of the experiences we've all had, we have so much to add, so much to give to younger people as mentors. The only problem is a lot of kids aren't ready to be mentored. Don't you find that?
Oh, my gosh, that's a very interesting proposition. I have a lot of young people in the broadcasting business that come to me and think they're ready to be major market radio stars when they haven't even accomplished having a four-hour or three-hour show on their college station or on an internet station. They may have spoken to someone who's a big name, and the fact that the person that they spoke to for advice gave them advice, that becomes a credential to them. I've had a number of people come to me, young people, 22, 23 years old, 21 years old, 18 years old, and say, Michael, or Mr. Harrison if they're smart, I am being mentored by, and then they'll name some name, and they think I really have a lot of talent. What should I do? They didn't even want advice from me on how to get better. What should I do now to approach a major station in New York City and do a midday show there? And then I find out that the person, the famous person that's mentoring them, took their call and spoke to them for 5 minutes, and now they think they're ready to go. In other words, it's a credential as opposed to an education. Now, I think you're right that you have to earn the right to be mentored.
Mm. I mean, maybe the mentors should be the one picking the protégés. In other words, if you notice somebody you think that has exceptional talent, exceptional ability, you find them as opposed to them finding you. Because you do have to earn it, and I think that's part of the entitlement society thing that we've got going on that we've talked about a number of times in the show, that a lot of times it looks easy. You know, people have been doing it for so long, they make it look easy, like Joe DiMaggio playing center field. They made it look easy, but to make it look easy, you've got to do a lot of work.
Mm-hmm. And people want the benefits of it looking easy that come, the stardom, the glory, the perceived money, as opposed to necessarily the years of struggle. And we have that in the radio industry. A lot of people, young people, are not ready to do years of struggling at low pay to get ahead in a field for which they may have a passion. And I find this all the time. Whereas when I was starting out, I was anxious to get an opportunity to, you know, as the cliche goes, take out the garbage or go get coffee. A number of people, and we don't have much time, that I know who employ young people, and I don't want to sound like I'm bashing young people, but I'm just reporting on what they tell me. They say that the millennials are very difficult to direct, that they don't have loyalty, and they don't they want to take more than they give. This is a common complaint. I'm not saying it's my experience. I'm just saying I hear it. Let's talk about this on the other side of your conversation with Donna Butts, which is coming up next. Richard Neer in conversation about intergenerational strategies for the improvement of society. When A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, continues.
You want a piece of me?
You want a piece of me?
You want a piece of me?
They're not movie tough guys, just ordinary people doing something extraordinary. They're all signed up on MatchingDonors.com, willing to donate their kidney to anyone who needs it. In the U.S., 19 people die each day waiting for an organ transplant, most of them for kidneys. MatchingDonors.com improves those odds by finding living, altruistic donors for patients desperately needing transplants. Go to MatchingDonors.com and meet some extraordinary people. That's MatchingDonors.com.
Want to stay informed when there are changes to Social Security? Subscribe to receive automatic email updates on popular Social Security web pages with the click of a button. Just visit www.socialsecurity.gov/govdelivery. More than 1 million people already receive updates to the pages they're most interested in. You can too. Look for the red envelope followed by a link that says Get Email Updates. To learn more, visit www.socialsecurity.gov/govdelivery. Social Security delivers.
Hi, this is Morgan Freeman. Has anyone ever said, you are the picture of health? You look healthy, you feel fine, but that may not be the full picture. Colorectal cancer is the second leading cancer killer of men and women over 50. Since it doesn't always cause symptoms, you may not know you have it. The only way to know is by getting screened. Screening can find precancerous polyps, so they can be removed before they turn into cancer. This is one cancer you can prevent. Plus, screening can find colorectal cancer at an early stage when the chance for a full recovery is very high. Talk with your doctor and get tested for colorectal cancer. Medicare and many insurance plans help pay for screening. Get screened. Make sure you are the picture of health.
A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
Hi, I'm Sigourney Weaver. If you're like me, your dog or cat is part of the family, and they rely on you to take care of them. Like a family doctor, your veterinarian and staff know what's best for that special family member. So visit your vet regularly for checkups, for prevention of disease like heartworm, and for the best advice on everyday issues like flea and tick control. Your veterinarian knows best, so take the time to ask questions. For healthy pets, visit the vet.
A message from the American Animal Hospital Association.
You're age 65 and you've made your decision to keep working and delay receiving your benefits. That's fine, but don't forget about Medicare. Most people should apply for Medicare coverage within 4 months of reaching age 65. And there's a fast, convenient, and simple way to apply for Medicare in as little as 10 minutes. Online at www.socialsecurity.gov/Medicare-only. That's socialsecurity.gov/Medicare-only.
Continuing now with A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups. I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair. And now, as promised, here's Richard Neer in conversation with Donna Butts. She's the executive director of Generations United, a national nonprofit membership organization focused solely on improving the lives of children, youth, and older people through intergenerational strategies, programs, and public policies. What exactly is this Get Old initiative?
Well, thank you, Richard. It's great to be with you. Get Old is an initiative that Pfizer has created, and we're now working in partnership with them to really encourage a conversation about what it means to be living in an aging society. As you know, we've added about 20 years to life, and we want to make sure that those 20 years are well-lived, that they're healthy, that they're engaged, and they're productive.
Boy, when you say 20 years to life, it sounds like a sentence, just about. Tell us about what this survey found out, because we know with the economy and everything else, there's a lot of anxiety going forward as people get ready to live their so-called golden years.
That's very true. There is a lot of anxiety, and especially when you say that the 20 years sounds like a sentence, what we need to do is turn it into an opportunity. So what the survey found was that less than 30% of the population believe that communities are prepared for an aging society. So we really see this as a clarion call, a time for communities to begin to prepare to get old. And there are a number of resources at getold.com to help communities do that. But it's also designed to help individuals think about how they want to claim their age, how they want to grow old at every age that they are. And so at getold.com, there also is an opportunity for people to claim their age and to talk about how they want to get older. And a part of that anxiety is the unknown. So if we start a conversation and we're learning from each other and we're preparing now, that anxiety is going to diminish.
Well, there is preparation and then there's preparation. I think all of us have an idea of what we don't want, but it's kind of hard to figure out what you actually do want when you consider the alternatives, no?
Well, in terms of figuring out what it is that we want, I think that's why it's important to start a dialogue, to start a conversation, and to intentionally think about it. I know I've told my husband he can't retire until he has a plan. And I really think that it's important for all of us to have a plan, even though we may take some side roads or have some other opportunities along the way. But it's thinking about what's important to us. I was remembering this morning about an 82-year-old who took it upon herself to teach a teenage exercise class. And she did a great job at it, but she felt that health was important and she wanted to make sure that younger people had that value as well. So when you go to getold.com, one of the resources there is for a program called Fit and Five, where older adults are teaching younger people about healthy eating habits and exercise. So they're taking better care of themselves while they're also passing that value on to another generation. So it's thinking about what's important to you, connection to community, connection to grandchildren or to other children, connection to people your own age, but connection and contribution in your community.
And you know, there is ageism out there. This program rails against that all the time, but it seems like when you're coming up in your teens, you have to prove that you can do something. Then for a while in the middle of life, it's accepted that you are competent, you can do things. And then as you pass into the retirement, so-called retirement days, you have to prove yourself again. Everybody, oh, look at the age. Well, I don't know that person can handle that. And that, I think, creates anxiety, too, when you have to sort of prove yourself all over again.
Richard, I think you're so right, because what you've pointed out is what the bookend generations have in common, which is that usually they're the generations that we cast aside, that we feel are too young to contribute or they're too old to contribute. And they are times where we expect people to prove themselves. So we really need to set a different standard in communities. And if we thoughtfully plan for what we want a neighborhood to be like and a community to be like, and we engage young people, people in the middle, and older people, it helps the people to realize that everybody can contribute. Now, as far as when we age and needing to prove ourselves again, what I think is wonderful is when we have an opportunity to prove ourselves in an entirely new area. And that's what's great about thoughtfully thinking about how we want to get older. I mean, you're as aware as I am of people who've taken on whole new careers or whole new paths or whole new vocations, taken up art, taken up dance, taken up storytelling, because it's something they've always wanted to do, and they're proving they can do it. So if we have to prove ourselves again, let's prove it in something that challenges us.
Donna, what's government's role in all of this? I mean, we see now a trend toward austerity, spending less money, and certainly that is going to affect the senior community, but what does government need to do going forward?
Government plays a really important role when we think about an aging society, and it really takes all sectors. It takes business, which is why it's fabulous that Pfizer has stepped up with GetOld.com, and they're taking a really proactive approach. It takes the nonprofit community to realize that we need to figure out how we engage older volunteers, how we provide services across generations. It takes the faith-based community. It takes all of us. But the role of government is that the government really does oversee the aging services system in the country. The Department of Aging, which is now the Department of Community Living, oversees all of the state and the county offices. And so they have an opportunity to really set the pace and set the model for how we deliver services. What's important is that, unfortunately, we've really siloed government services as well as other services. So it's not just a Department on Aging. They've got to be working with the Department on Families, the Department on Children, Urban Planning Department. What we need to do is make sure that government is talking across departments and across silos if we're really going to age well in this country.
Now, and you know, the other thing is that there was anathema about senior communities. Plus 55 communities, people would look at, oh, gee, I don't want to be there. But we're seeing more and more creativity in those communities now that make them a much, much more attractive place in which to live.
Yeah, you know, Richard, it really is interesting to think about how we're going to be living in the future and how people want to live. There was that time when everybody thought that they wanted to go to Sun City, that they thought the myth was to run and have a second adolescence. And what today's boomers say is they don't want to leave the communities that they've grown up in, that their families are in, that their children are in, their grandchildren are in. They want to be close to them. And so smart developers are thinking about how do we create communities that are good places to grow up and grow old. So we have small apartments, we have townhouses, we have larger homes, we have the opportunity for people to change and to be close to each other. I am not a proponent of 50-plus communities. I really believe that when I look at a gated community, and I see all this knowledge that is behind that gate, and they may be sharing with each other, but there's a whole other generation that's missing out on that opportunity. And what happens when people live together, when they're at whatever age, when you're older, what happens is that the conversation turns to the three P's, pain, pills, and passing. It's who died, what medication you're on, and what hurts. And when you have young people that are living together or only with each other, what you have are the three T's. You've got Twitter, Twilight, and texting. So what we need to do is make sure we're mixing the P's and the T's.
That's interesting because that's sort of enforced segregation. You're staying with people like yourself, and you just keep reinforcing old beliefs as opposed to being exposed to different beliefs and different systems from the youth. And you're absolutely right. That's very important to stay young and focused mentally.
Well, Richard, you're probably aware of some of the great research that's been done that shows that older adults who are connected in their community and connected with another generation take better care of themselves, they're more optimistic, they have a larger social network, they do better on memory tests, and my favorite is that they also burn 20% more calories because they're busy running around with these kids.
That's great. Donna, thank you so much for joining us. Where can people go to get more involved and more information?
GetOld.com is a wealth of resources. I really encourage people to go to GetOld.com, both to share your stories, share your thoughts, but also to get all the wonderful resources that are there. So GetOld.com.
That's Donna Butts in conversation with Richard Neer. If you'd like more information about her subject matter, go to GetOld.com. GetOld.com. A few more words with our senior correspondent Richard Neer in just a moment when A Touch of Gray continues.
You're age 65 and you've made your decision to keep working and delay receiving your benefits. That's fine, but don't forget about Medicare. Most people should apply for Medicare coverage within 4 months of reaching age 65. And there's a fast, convenient, and simple way to apply for Medicare in as little as 10 minutes. Online at www.socialsecurity.gov/MedicareOnly. That's socialsecurity.gov/MedicareOnly.
Carol Marx is one of America's leading experts on upper demographic issues and a champion in the battle against ageism in our society. Her fabulous new book, Modern Aging, A Guide for Seasoned Citizens to Achieve Health, Happiness, and Purpose, published by Talkers Books, is a major breakthrough in providing a maturing population with vital information and inspiration to live better and more productive lives. Carol Marx offers practical strategies for juggling work, romance, and navigating the healthcare system. She is a guide through the maze of grandparenting, technology, travel, and retirement, as well as facing the sandwich generation struggle of supporting adult children and elderly parents. Modern Aging by Carol Marx is available now at www.talkersbooks.com. That's www.talkersbooks.com.
She's conquered some of the most challenging ski courses anywhere, but with only one leg, the odds were against her even walking.
The growth was stunted in my right leg when I was born, and the doctors told my mother we needed to amputate when I was 5 years old.
Bonnie was helped at a Shriners Hospital, one of a network of 22 hospitals helping kids throughout North America. Shriners Hospitals provide world-class orthopedic and burn medical care, and they offer that care totally free of charge.
The care and treatment the Shriners gave me was a gift. It wasn't just about learning to walk. They helped me to believe in myself.
There's a Shriners Hospital helping kids from this area realize their dreams.
If I went back to the Shriners Hospital and talked to the nurses and doctors, I would say thank you. Thank you for making my dreams come true.
If you know a child they could help, call 1-800-237-5055. Shriners, giving help and hope to kids for over 80 years.
Engine.
Check.
Thrusters.
Check.
Fuel.
Check.
Computers.
Check.
Social Security.
No check, go direct.
That's right, Patty. A few weeks ago, I went online to GoDirect.org to sign up for direct deposit. It's easy to do, and I got my cash at warp speed.
Wow, it's fast and easy. I'll sign up right now to make sure I'm prepared for our next mission.
Continuing now with A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups. I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair, and we have one more segment to go, and we're going to spend it with our senior correspondent, Richard Neer. I want to ask you about A-Rod, Richard, but before we do, any reaction, because we promised that before your conversation with Donna Butts that we'd get a response from you. Do you think the millennials, from your experience, are difficult employees?
Some of them are, yeah. Again, it goes with this entitlement thing. I think our generation has raised kids to expect to have certain things. Gee, you don't have a cell phone? You don't have a picture phone? You don't have a phone that, a smartphone? What? And I think, you know, we had that in our day too, but it was kind of like if you had the right kind of sneakers or, you know, did you have that when you were growing up? There was a certain thing that the cool kids had that you kind of had to have to be in that clique?
Yeah, but it wasn't as pervasive. It was more like, do you have the latest Beatles record? Or do you it wasn't like cool sneakers. It wasn't clothes. It was more like music or things of that nature. Or, you know, do you have the new yo-yo when there'd be yo-yo crazes
mm-hmm.
or a hula-hoop?
Yeah,
it was much more modest. We're talking about very, very expensive gadgetry and technology that it'd be like when we were kids, hey, do you have a Cadillac Eldorado?
Yeah. Well, and you see it now with kids that get BMWs for their 16th birthday.
Right, right. And you see Mercedes, Lexus, they advertise for Christmas gifts for the kids.
Mm-hmm.
Cars. Yeah. Oh, Dad, thank you. With the bow on it, I could puke. It I don't like that. Look, we only have a second. I was going to mention A-Rod, but let me broaden it. Is today's crop, because you're an athlete, you're a talk radio host in New York dealing with sports as well as all the other things that you do, so you're an expert on this to certainly more of a degree than I am. You have this A-Rod controversy going on with his, whether he took drugs or not, or is involved with a doctor, or is lying to the Yankees, da, da, da. Is today's generation of young athletes more difficult for the management of major sports teams to manage?
No doubt.
Than the old guys were in the old days?
No doubt. And most of it is money. If you make more money than your supposed boss, you have more power than your boss in a lot of cases. If you are deemed inexpendable, we can't live without you, then if your boss doesn't like you, doesn't use you properly, how many times have we seen NBA players basically go into the general managers and get their coaches fired because they don't like the way they're being coached?
Basketball is a game where it really is hard for the coach to impose a total strategy because it's so fast and there are so few players compared to, say, football or baseball on the court at any moment. And I know they have a tough time with it. Do you think, in conclusion, that the game has suffered without that strong captain, that leader, that manager, that coach running things with an iron hand, than when with players having more power to do what they want on the field?
Well, to an extent, it's suffered because the players have more choices. It used to be they were indentured to one team for the rest of their lives. Now you see free agency, and there's maybe more talk about player movement than there is about the games themselves. And I think overall it benefits the games, but on the field it doesn't, because I don't think you have the intelligence. You see a lot of minor league and bush league plays being hatched because players haven't come through a system where they've actually learned. They've kind of freelanced, and as a result, the games are a little sloppier than they once were.
Fascinating. A pleasure to talk to you because you have so many insights to so many different fields of endeavor. Richard Neer, our senior correspondent, we thank you. We thank you, Beverly Santinello, producer on the front line, Carol Marks, the host and founder of the program, Kevin Casey from Talkers Magazine, and the entire Touch of Gray broadcast team, including, of course, Steve Wiseman, and many more. I'm Michael Harrison, inviting you to join us next weekend right here on this great radio station for another installment of A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups.